God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today's the 24th day of November, 2009, and you're listening to a special Tuesday evening Thanksgiving Week broadcast. Our sermon tonight is from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled Abiding in Christ. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening, and happy Thanksgiving.
John chapter 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you've done, for all that you continue to do in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you would move in just a very special way. And tonight, Lord, at the end of the service, as we take some time to remember, Lord, what you've done for us, and as we call it the Lord's Supper, Lord, and we take the bread and we take the juice and we remember your body broken and the blood shed, that, Lord, it would truly be a heartfelt time when we are thankful, Lord, once again, for the greatest of all gifts, and that is salvation. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And just kind of a quick, short review to bring you up to speed. What a beautiful passage about the vine and the branches, and really about bearing fruit. You know, the whole purpose of this passage is, what does God want? And very clear in the passage we went over, God wants us to bear much fruit. So as we talked about bearing fruit and how you bear fruit, we began really with the beginning in verse 2 and 3, and it says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And we really spent probably the majority of the message last week on purging, and the fact that since God's purpose is primarily that we bear much fruit, then how does he get the fruit? Well, number one, he purges. In other words, he wants a clean branch. You get a lot more out of a clean branch than a dirty branch. And the parallel there is, of course, removing sin out of our life. But we probably do a little bit more on the fact of trials in our lives. How often God will allow trials to come and things to come. Why? To purge things out of our lives, including, are you ready, good things. In other words, often God will remove something very good. In other words, in itself, there's nothing wrong with it. And we often say, well, why did he take that person out of my life or that thing out of my life? And what did I do wrong? And it wasn't that you did anything wrong or that in it itself was wrong. It's that it was hindering or becoming a weight, if you could say, hindering the process that God had for us. And we don't often think that way. We often think just in the bad, the evil, the wicked. That's easier to see, easier to understand, you know, why God would remove that out of our life. But why would he take something good? I don't get it. Well, he does it because Almighty God knows that sometimes he would cut good branches. The farmer cuts good branches. If you and I look at it, you'd say, why are you cutting that branch? I mean, it's not brown, it's not withered, it's not diseased. You don't cut the good branches off. He goes, well, yeah, actually you do. Why? It allows the nutrients to go in the other parts, the parts I want it to grow. It allows the fruit to grow the size I want, more than all those things that a farmer would tell you. He says, I'm pruning off even some of the good branches so it doesn't get overweighted and all that fruit actually die or become bad. You're thinking, wow. So God is working at every angle in our life. He's working to remove the evil, the bad, but he's also saying, listen, I might even remove some good so that you can even accomplish even more of what I want for your life. Why? Well, number one, because he wants more fruit. God wants more fruit. There's no debate about it. His whole purpose of leaving you here is that you might develop and grow into a lot of fruit. But did you notice verse 11? Look at this. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Now look at this. And that your joy might be full. I don't know if you're aware of this, but God's plan is not this. God is not up there, and with this whole process of bearing fruit, he's thinking, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take John Waterloo, and I'm just going to work him to death. And I'm going to work him. I'm getting everything I can out of him because he owes me, and that's just the way it is. And let me help you. If that was the way it was, that would be okay. You said, why? We owe him our life. I'll just be quite honest with you. Let's just say that that was it. And his whole mindset is you're just a slave, and he's going to work you to death. I think I would say praise God anyways. I've got eternal life. It's a wonderful thing. But that's not the connotation. God isn't just, I'm going to push and push and purge and purge, and I'm going to cut and cut, so it's all about me. Did you not catch verse 11? That my joy might remain full in you. In other words, that you might have joy. The whole purpose of this is God understands something that we miss. And please, don't miss this. Are you ready? We believe here at Central Baptist Church, Christianity is a lifestyle. Okay? It's not just something that we do. It is our very life. I mean, it is everything about us. Everything I do is to serve God. And I want you to understand, that's not a negative. Okay? If you actually live the Christian life, can I help you? You have joy. You have joy unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. And I see so many Christians that are, I mean, it's just not working for them, if you can say it that way. They are depressed. They are down. It's not all that they want it to be. They can't seem to find their way. And to be quite honest with you, it's like they're in the church and they're surrounded by the things of God, but they're not living it. And in not living it, guess what? They're not experiencing the joy that only God can give them. Now listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want you, God wants you to have joy. Now I didn't say I want you to be happy. There's a big difference there. Okay? Happiness comes by, some of you today had a happy day. Boy, I'm telling you what, you went to work, there were no problems, things went smooth. I mean, there were no hiccups. You came home, wife had a nice dinner prepared, it was a good day. Some of you, it wasn't a good day. You had what? You had something happen. You know, you had something get in the way, you had something go wrong, you had something that didn't go right. And so you'd say, well, listen, I'm not happy. And you're right, today you're not happy. But guess what? Happiness and joy, two different things. Okay? Joy is something that comes from the inside. It's that peace that passes all understanding. It's that ability God gives us even through the worst of times to still say, praise God, isn't God great? Because you're going to have days where you're not really happy. But every day there should be a joy inside that never fades. And God doesn't want you to just be happy. God wants joy. I mean real joy where your life and everything you have in this life and everything you experience is wonderful. That's what God thinks about you. See, he's not just this mean ogre up there saying, do, and I hope you get nothing out of it. He's up there saying, I'm telling you this, that now listen, if you bear fruit for me, you will be full of joy. Can I tell you the happiest Christians are those who are serving God? I mean, not just a namesake. I'm talking, they are really in their heart trying to serve God. And I'm telling you, the more you get into the word, and the more you do what God tells you to do, let me tell you the byproduct of that. As you're bearing fruit and you're serving God, the byproduct is, I'm a joyful person. And it's not just personality traits. I know we talk about personalities, and I know you say, preacher, you're just a sanguine. And sanguines are just naturally happy people. And you know what? You're right. I'll be honest with you. Sanguines, they say, you know, enjoy life. That's a wonderful thing. But can I help you? I'm not just happy. I'm full of joy. And they're two different things. You betcha I'm a happy person. But even on days that aren't so happy, I can still throughout the day go, well, praise God. I still got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Things wonderful. Why? Because we're bearing fruit and we're serving God. So I want you to understand, when we're talking about bearing fruit, I want you to understand the whole purpose of this. It's not just some Christian thing to do that God's got, you know, little worker bees out there. It's so that you'll really be full of joy. But let me tell you the great part of this chapter that we did not get a chance to get to. And that is how. God's part, are you ready? God's part for bearing fruit, and don't miss this, is he purges us. Okay? That's God's part. God comes down as a husbandman, and he purges, and he cuts, and he removes. Our part, this is good. Take a look down here, and I think it's in verse 4. He says, abide in me, and I in you. Now I want you, we're going to read verses 4 through 7 again. I want you to count in your head how many times I say the word abide. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How many times did we say abide? 7 times. If you got 6, you flunked the quiz.
That's all I can tell. If you got eight, same thing. You are a failure. We'll talk about that later. Seven times. Well, we got four verses there. Seven times. He keeps saying, abide, abide, abide. Now, this is God's inerrant, infallible word. Through inspiration, he wrote, he didn't forget that he used the word abide. For you English majors, you're a little worried about that. You know, isn't that a little repetitious? Shouldn't we be using different words here? You can't use the word abide seven times in four verses. It's not appropriate. Let me help you. You can when you're God. And when you're trying to emphasize something, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you. God says, my part is I cut. And I don't cut because I hate you. I cut so you'll bear more fruit and you'll be full of joy. Your part is one thing. All you got to do is just abide in me. Well, preacher, what's that? It means stay close. The very word means to just stay close. Your one job to bear fruit and get the joy of the Lord that just, I mean, just flows through you is this one thing. You just got to stay close to the source. Who's that? Jesus Christ. I sent out today this little posting, and if you didn't get it, it may be in your email later, but I picked this up and I thought it was really good. This guy wrote about John chapter 15 and his lesson of learning how to abide. I'd like to read it to you. I just thought it was so appropriate. He said, if I'm not abiding in Jesus, then where is it that I abide? Very good question. If I'm not abiding, if I'm not staying close to Jesus, then where am I abiding? I'm somewhere. He wrote, I once asked myself, I began to notice that when I was tired or anxious, there were certain sentences I would say in my head that led me to a familiar place. The journey to this place would often start with me walking around disturbed, feeling as if there was something deep inside that I needed to put into words but couldn't quite capture. I felt the something as anxiety, loneliness, and a need for connection with someone. If no connection came, I would start to say things like, life really stinks. Why is it it's always so hard? It's never going to change. If no one noticed I was struggling or asked me what was wrong, I found my sentences shifting to a more cynical level. Who cares? Life is a joke. Surprisingly, by the time I was saying those last sentences, I was feeling better. The anxiety was greatly diminished. He says, my comforter, my abiding place was cynicism and rebellion. From this abiding place, I would feel free to use some soul cocaine, as he would say, watching a violent movie, a video, with maybe a little sexual tentation thrown in, having more alcohol with the meal than I might normally drink, things that would allow me to feel better for a little while. I had always thought of these things as just bad habits. I began to see they were much more. They were spiritual abiding places that were my comforters and my friend in a very spiritual way. He then said the final light went on one evening when I read John 15:7. Now, he's reading out of a version that we don't agree, but the thought process is good. It says, Peterson translates Jesus' words on abiding this way. If you make yourself at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Jesus was saying in answer to my question, he writes, I have made my home in you, Brent, he calls his name, but you still have other comforters you go to. You must learn to make your home in me. Now, I'm going to tell you, I read that and I said, bingo. You said, what are you saying? I can't tell you how many times in 20 years I've preached on abiding in Christ, how we ought to bear much fruit, how you are to stay close to Christ. But this man probably put in words what most of us do when it comes to abiding. You say, what are you saying, preacher? In other words, he was very honest. He said, when I get anxious, when I get lonely, I go to my home, my place of comfort. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I like going home. Okay? Now, I don't know about your home, and I don't know how you like it, but I'm just going to help you. I enjoy going home. I have a recliner chair. I like it. I got a little table my wife bought me a while back, and I can't remember. It's probably been there a couple of years. It sits right by my reclining chair, and it swivels over with my laptop. So I have my laptop, I've got internet, email, I got whatever I want right there. If I want to watch SportsCenter right there, I got two dogs on my lap. I've got a glass of tea, a Diet Pepsi, whatever I prefer sitting right there. I'm telling you, the thing kicks back, it's a lazy boy, and you can lay out and you can enjoy life. So when you say it's time to go home, I'm never, I don't think so. I'm like, woohoo! Man, home's fun. I got a wonderful wife. I enjoy being around. Jonathan at home, love being around him. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's a comfort to me. I mean, I can leave here. I can go home. I can feel, it's a wonderful, comforting place. If things are getting rough, you just go to the Lazy Boy. And from the Lazy Boy, you find all the comforts that you need. You find the drink, the animals that love you no matter what. You can check email. You can get on the internet. You can watch sports. Life is so good. And in itself, to tell you the truth, nothing is wrong with those things. I mean, really, there's really not. Matter of fact, I promote them. Why? Because I like it. And all I'm saying is, now that's my place of comfort. That's my place where I relax. And once again, nothing wrong with that. But what the author is saying, which is so true, is this. So often, we find our place to relax begins to kind of be that place that we go a lot and becomes our home, in a sense. And the problem with that is so often that thing or that place that relaxes us, that thing that takes away all of our anxieties or our worries, whatever it may be, he's saying, often isn't what Christ says it should be. In other words, Christ wants to be that place that you go to, that you're close to, that removes all the anxieties, all the problems in your life. And so often it's other things. For instance, some of us go to music. Now, in itself, there's nothing wrong with music. But have you ever found that for some of you, now that's not me, but for some of you, man, when you're down and depressed, man, you go and you take those CDs and you put them in, you play them over and over and over, and you let those artists, whoever they are, whoever's singing, be the ones to kind of lift your spirits and lift you up. Or maybe you go, as he says, and you just watch TV and you just kind of get rid of all the other thoughts and you just kind of, you know, stare at the TV and block everything up, and that becomes your sole comfort. And maybe it's some type of addiction. Some people getting drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be. You can put whatever you want in that. Whatever makes me feel good. Whatever makes me feel at peace. Whatever takes away the pain of the day. That's where I run. Now listen. You know what abiding in Christ is? It's running to him. In other words, when the anxiety builds up, the problems build up. Instead of running to everything else, we spend the majority of our time saying, you know what? It's been a bad day. I need to get with Jesus. A preacher stands up and says, read your Bible, pray, go to church. You know what we're saying? Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. I think for a lot of believers, this is it. It's not a lack of knowledge. I am confident that if I gave a quiz tonight, most of you would pass. You see what I'm saying? If I gave you a general Bible quiz, most of you would probably get it. Well, who built the ark? It wasn't Moses. Okay, most of you would probably get that. You see what I'm saying? We kind of went through there, you know, and well, who is the apostle that always stuck his foot in his mouth and said things? Oh, preacher, Peter, yeah. Okay, good job. Who is the king who was chased by the other king, Saul, and he only did what was right, but he was chased down? Ooh, Dave, you get it right. Fast, you'd memorize some verses or quote some things. It wouldn't be a knowledge problem. In other words, if I didn't give a quiz about basic things Christians ought to do, you'd probably have on there, read your Bible, pray, go to church. I mean, we're not having a knowledge problem, folks. I'm convinced. Now, I realize for some people, if you're a new Christian, sure, it is a knowledge problem. You got to grow. But for a lot of us, it's not that we don't have the knowledge to get through life and to make things work to where we can be full of joy. We don't have the practice. What are you saying, preacher? I don't know if I'm illustrating it right, but to go back to this guy's illustration, the place that's our place of comfort for most of us isn't Jesus Christ. Our place of comfort is somebody else or something else. And that's where we spend the majority of our time to find our peace in our life. Now, I'm not talking about just enjoying life. I'm talking about when I'm anxious, when I've got a problem, where do I run? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your down relaxing time, so don't misinterpret it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, when you got a problem, where do you run? And for a lot of us, we literally get caught up in running to everything but Jesus. Oh, we'll say a quick prayer. Dear Lord, I got a problem. That's it. That's not what abiding is talking about. He said seven times, abide. That is stay closely connected, engrafted into the vine. And you let the natural ability of Jesus Christ, of being with him in the word, in prayer, in meditation, of just spending time with him to so rub off on you that the anxiety leaves and the peace and the joy just floods in naturally. And it's not that there's some specific verse you have to read. It's just spend time with Jesus. Come on. Isn't there certain people that you're around? And actually, doesn't everybody rub off on us? Yeah. I mean, there's some people, they're the life of the party. I mean, the party doesn't start until they show up. I mean, everybody's there, but everybody's just there. And when that person walks in the room, everything changes. I mean, they're the happy-go-lucky person. They're telling jokes. They're walking around. People start smiling. They're like, yeah. You know what? That's just the way it is. And there's other people that aren't that way. When they show up, the party ends. I mean, they just kill everything. You say, are you sure, preacher? You'll experience it in a couple days. It's called Thanksgiving. And there'll be certain family members going to walk in. Let's just be honest. It's going to be, ew. Now, can you imagine? Now, praise God. You only have to see them Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays. Amen to that. Could you imagine? Picture that person, that aunt, that uncle, that sister that irritates you. Grandma, whoever it may be. Every single day, they're living with you. Bye-bye, Joy. See you, Joy. You are so depressed right now. This is a good illustration. All of you are about ready to cry. I can see it. Preacher, can we start imagining something else, please? Do you know how depressing that would be to be around that person? Oh, it would be amazingly depressing. You don't want to do that. Because, matter of fact, if you're around them all the time, what you may not notice is you start getting critical like them. You start getting negative like them. I mean, if it was every single day, the odds are they start rubbing off on you. Like, oh, man, I got to have a break. But now reverse that. What if you've got this happy-go-lucky person? You think maybe you might become a little bit more happy-go-lucky? Yeah, probably so. Well, just interpret it the way it's designed to be interpreted. If you spent the majority of your time just with Jesus Christ, you don't think maybe he'd rub off on you? Can I remind you about Moses, the guy that went up top of the hill? Now, I realize that's kind of an unusual situation because he was in the actual presence. But he walked down. I mean, just we're talking after 40 days. He didn't realize what was happening around him. Time didn't matter. Nothing really mattered. I mean, hey, this is praise God. He walks down, his face shone. I mean, literally just spending time with Jesus, it just naturally just ran right through him. And I don't know how many days it was, but for a while he had to wear a veil. Why? Because people couldn't stand to be around him. Why? Jesus was shining through him. Folks, can I help you? Christian life isn't as hard as we're making it out to be. The problem is this. We're spending way more time abiding in other places of comfort with other people and other things than we are with Jesus. So what's coming out in us, remember the passage, the fruit that we're bearing is the fruit of that which we're, are you ready? The most connected to. So that which you're connected to the most is what you're going to bear, because that's what's going to flow through your spiritual veins. And if you want spiritual things and godly things to pop out, if you want the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 11 down through 16, to pop out, guess what? You spend time in the Word of God. You spend time in prayer. You want to be a soul winner. You want the fruits of souls to pop out. You spend time. Just get close to Jesus. You just get so close to Jesus, and you just, in prayer and meditation in the Word, you just spend time with Him. He will just flood off on you. You will become a natural soul winner. It's just the way it's going to be. Good works won't be a problem for you. You will naturally do that, which is right. Why? Because Jesus is just flowing through you. Why? Because I'm just spending time with Him. It's not that I'm gaining all this great knowledge. And knowledge is wonderful. Don't miss the message. It's not that, it's just I'm with them and I'm learning from them. Folks, one of the best teachers is example. I mean, don't get this wrong, especially our young people. Go to school, get an education. It's great. But you're going to realize something. That will create a foundation, but a lot of what you're going to learn is on-the-job training. And I'm not saying abandon that. You need that. You need the foundation. But I can tell you, I've learned a whole lot more in the ministry being in a church than I ever did in a book. Now, I would never abandon the book. Both are needed. You see what I'm saying? Well, it's the same thing here. If you just come to church and you hear message after message after message, but you don't go home and abide in Christ personally, you just have book knowledge. And you'll answer the questions right, but your life won't match up with it. And you'll shake your head and go, I don't get it. We go to church all the time. I'm not happy. It's not working. I'm not bearing fruit. And I'm like, you're missing your one job to bear fruit. What's that? All I got to do is get close to Jesus. What do you mean? I just got to spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in the Word. I just got to be with Him so that He naturally rubs off on me. And the Christian life isn't so hard. And there's a weird thing that happens. The more time I spend with Jesus, there's this weird joy that comes naturally. And although I got different things happening in my life, there's the joy of Christ inside and the joy of life that is natural when you're connected to the source. So I don't want to go too far on this, but I just want you to understand. As a preacher, sometimes it's so hard to get across. But if you'll just grab hold of Jesus, you say, how do you do that? Just spend time with Him as much as you can. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. And you'll become the fruit bearer that God wants you to be. Because whenever you're spending that much time with the vine and those juices are flowing through you, it's a natural thing. You don't have to work on it. You don't have to struggle over it.
You just get close to God through prayer and through his word, and you let him do the rest through you, and Christianity becomes a joyful thing. That's not just words, that is truth. And why would you want to do this? Because God wants much fruit. And can I help you? He deserves much fruit. And you want joy, and you can have it when you bear much fruit. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop by and visit us just 1 mile north of Ponca City at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thank you again for listening.